please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act, post on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byer, Setzer. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda, which consider is the general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held August 22nd. Approve all claims through September 5th in the amount of $355,174.67. Approve and place on file correspondence received.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Approve or disapprove resolution setting 2012.
That'll have to be.
Oh, yep. Okay. Sandy Morrissey, Director of Regional Prevention Coordination, present information regarding funding and the development of prevention system within Region 5.
Good morning. I asked Christina Lyons to join me. She heads up MAPS, Gage County Coalition, and I don't know if you want to give an update with the county first. Regionally, we have submitted for the federal block grant dollars for 2012-13, and in front of you, you have awards that were submitted to each of the counties. For Gage County, $15,663 for this year. That does not include training funds and mini grant dollars that the youth or adults can apply for. I will tell you the state, we just finished a round of strategic prevention framework state incentive grant funds. The state has applied for more. Those funds will be specific to binge drinking. Our data in Nebraska is clearly showing, and I've talked with the state on numerous occasions due to the university and the number of colleges we have in southeast Nebraska. And if we get those funds for the binge drinking, I believe southeast Nebraska is sitting good in terms of receiving some of those. The data shows 19-year-old males at high risk. Females aren't too far behind at this point.
Tom, don't shut it all the way.
Females aren't too far behind at this point. In fact, they're catching up, but it's still showing the 19-year-old male. Our experience with the binge drinking, as you know, that defines for women more than 4 drinks in one setting. For men or young men, 5 or more drinks in one setting. What we're seeing with the college bar scene, but also with those just in the workforce, from that 18 to 25-year-old range, a drink and then shots. A drink, a shot. And a lot of that age group are not equating a shot as at the same amount of liquor as a drink, just due to size. So that's some of our work within prevention. We did, within our Nebraska Risk and Protective Factor Survey, included with the SHARP survey, we do some work every 2 years. We'll submit that again this fall, 2012, to the schools, and they actually survey 6th, 8th, 10th, and 12th graders. If you'll remember, I brought that data last year. We are seeing our underage drinking a significant decline, almost 20%. The statisticians in our epidemiological work group statewide that is looking at that information says that 2012 data will be very significant to show if, in fact, if that trend is accurate or if it shoots up. So we're pretty excited about the work we've done. Marijuana use is on the increase. You know, and law enforcement that works closely with us has always indicated once you start preventing in one area and it's working, generally we'll see another area that rises. And we're seeing that with marijuana. In fact, it's in some of the elementary, middle schools, not so much the use, but it's normalized within their home. With some of the tobacco preventionists going into the school, the kids will say things to them like, are you talking about my parents' bong, or are you talking about a pipe, like a smoking pipe? So, you know, it's new terminology that's alarming a lot of schools. unfortunately, I think it's caught the attention of many principals and superintendents. We see more principals wanting to get on board now with prevention, not just our coalition leads. And that's so significant in terms of changes we're wanting to make. The following sheets in your packet will show one of our strategies for this year is a statewide media campaign. The logo for it is Nebraska Parents Be Strong, Be the Influence. Throughout Nebraska, we'll be putting window clings, billboards. We have really great banners that are vertical, and will go. It can be placed throughout the school. They're very mobile and can be moved around. So I gave you a sampling of different ones that we'll use. We're hoping that this is a start. The underage drinking campaigns and strategies have been effective. Everyone's in agreement now. It's time to get parents on board and for them to be part of making a difference. We want to make it positive, a positive approach in terms of helping parents get on board, making positive, strong choices. However, our concerns are great in that area. We have a lot of socioeconomic problems right now, and when we see that, we also see an increase in substance abuse. So we're working diligently at getting parents to understand other options and turning to alcohol or drugs or messages that they're giving their kids and really instilling those values within the home. So our strategies for this coming year, safe homes, really getting parents on board in terms of supporting the no-use rule for underage, for minors, no drinking and driving, and modeling healthy behaviors. If they choose to drink alcohol, not binge drinking. Showing that. We also, in all the counties, want to have responsible beverage server training. It is happening in Gage County. In Odo County, they have made it a local ordinance. Any establishment that serves alcohol has to have their servers go through responsible beverage server training. I think that's great. Hopefully they've set a trend and we start to see that in other counties. And the other and final piece for me, prescription drug abuse is up. We don't have the data in Nebraska to support it. Youth are telling us the drugs are everywhere. They can get them. They take them from homes, grandparents, wherever they can. And I don't know if you've heard of farming parties, PHARMING, but everything's tossed into a bowl, and they take them just to see what happens. And so our other strategy for that, and we're working closely with the health departments, is to have the take back the picked up in different places. Lancaster County is quite concerned, and they're actually thinking about doing it monthly rather than just a couple times a year. Law enforcement is involved with that. It's a great piece. And I'm open for any questions if you have them for me.
I just want to compliment Sandy. I am your representative on the Region 5 Systems Board, and I'm chairman of that board, and I commend our staff. And, Sandy, you do a wonderful job, and everything that you're doing for all of the people of our county as well as the whole district, we really appreciate it very much.
I can just add that the money that, with the federal block grant that we receive, will be used for high-visibility checkpoints with Gus. We work with him, as well as the pharmaceutical take-back. We have two scheduled. We work with the DEA. September 29th is our next one, and then probably again in April. We have some money for some compliance checks, which we do pretty regularly with the city and the county, and we will also continue to work on responsible beverage service training, as she mentioned. We have... In February, we did one. We had trained 13 different, whether they're owners, managers, or just bartenders, servers. And four of those were from Kansas. We have a group in Kansas that comes up pretty regularly to our responsible beverage server training from Marysville. And mentoring, and I think that's just about it in that.
One other piece, sorry, that I want to make sure you understand. Chasen Bednar is the youth representative on our Youth Action Board, so they're part of our regional system. Regional Governing Board has approved that they even oversee some mini-grants for the youth. So Chasen is from Waimea Southern. Great kid. He's been with us since last year, and to see his leadership skills continue to grow is pretty impressive. So that's a piece. But we've also been approached by UNMC, and you haven't heard about this yet, sorry. but they're really concerned about the workforce. Among our, we're losing our workforce in behavioral health. And so they're really promoting for high school youth. They found out about our June Jam, that's our big summer event with our youth leaders, and said, you've had this going 9 years and over 200 youth. So they're going to work with us on actually doing some training and modeling with some of the med students so that we have girl kids interested in going into that those professions, whether it's medical or psychiatry, just due to that workforce development is not happening, and they're really concerned about what might happen in rural areas. So they spoke to our board a couple Saturdays ago when the kids met, and two of the kids said they would have never considered going into that field and now will. So pretty impressive, and the med student that came, they will mentor 4 years. So for some of our kids in rural, they've never had a family member, an adult, go to college, let alone consider those type of dreams. And we've got some exceptionally bright kids in the rural area. So I think that's a pretty neat thing to share with you, that UNMC is wanting to support that and will utilize what we've set in place for our kids to make that happen.
Okay. Just last Tuesday night, we heard from our leadership group, a researcher out of University of Nebraska, talking about how to get more kids involved. And why you do that is because they're more likely to come back to the area if you get them involved now. So we're working on that too.
Good. Thank you. Anything else? Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Approve or disapprove Visitors Improvement Fund grant for the Rice Lodge and Conference Center in the amount of $20,000.
I'd make a motion to approve the grant fund.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Presentation of the Visitors Improvement Fund grant check to the City of Blue Springs for the log cabin restoration.
There's my one drop for today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Short one on the end.
Okay. And I don't know if I told anybody to cut a ribbon.
Oh, yeah, that's really no counting.
But yeah. Okay. I'm going to do one more.
Thank you, everybody, for the grant money that was well used. It is done. We've had it open already. We had it open for our annual car and tractor show. We had an attendance of approximately 40 people that came down to look at the cabin while it was open. So it was a great improvement. So we just want to say thank you for the county board for their help. I do have one question. I applied for the Parks and Rec grant, was approved for that. How do I turn in the expenditures? Do I just turn it into Don's office? How does that work?
The clerk's office.
I've already expended the money. I bought new basketball goals for our court down there, so we bought two of them, complete sets. So,
yeah.
And our next project is our lighting project, and hopefully Norris can help us with that, so. Just turn the bill into your office and done.
You have
okay.
it with you?
No, I don't. I will have Kathy send it to you, and we'll get it to you this week yet.
Okay. Right,
thank you.
Good. Thank you.
I just also want to thank you. I think this is a great step for Blue Springs to go in the right direction, so hopefully we can continue on doing that. So appreciate you guys' time.
Okay. Thank you.
How much was the check for? We didn't get to see it on this site.
$3,092 is what the grant was actually for.
Thank you.
For your half of it. The actual grant money was right at $6,100. So it was well worth it. We put a brand new roof with the same wooden shake shingles that the monument put on their cabin out there. And we had the entire outside re-tuck pointed and a couple places inside. Sean had to go in and do. The work was all done locally. Neil Gowan from Wymore did the roof, and Sean Glenningham from Beatrice did the tuck pointing. So he was able to keep it all within the county. So
good. Thank you.
I would just
can you reach
just
that?
I can reach all the way up there. I'm Lorene Riedesel from Gage County Visitors Committee. I just wanted to say thank you to this board for their support. We have two wonderful South Gage projects. We're always glad to see North ones come as well. And I just wanted to mention that one of the things I really appreciated about this is that when the Blue Springs project came to us, we honestly did not think it had that they were giving themselves enough funds to do what they needed to do, and they were willing to go back. We were able to use the expertise that we have right here in the county from Homestead National Monument, and they still got a very reasonable bid, but to do something that's so authentic for a cabin, if you haven't seen it, that is just an amazing thing to see. Something that authentic, that old, right here in Gage County. So thank you again for your support for this project.
I want to thank you, Lorene, for all you do for this county and all of the history that you've brought out, and you've just done an absolutely wonderful job, and thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's one of our assets. You know, we always look at natural resources and bringing in things. We have this wonderful history that is something that we can utilize and encourage people to visit.
We're lucky to have somebody who really recognizes that history.
Well, thank you.
If you keep watching the internet, keep trying, we will have our website on site too, the Blue Springs. It'll be www.bluespringsne.com. Be coming to the internet soon. Jan Morris has done that for us, and it'll have a lot of information about the cabin, pictures of the cabin, and all kinds of information about Blue Springs and Southern Gage County. So,
okay. Thank you. Approve or disapprove emergency dispatch service interlocal agreement between the City of Beatrice and Gage County in the amount of $39,046.31 for the period of August 1st, 2012, July 31st, 2013.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
I'll talk a little bit about this. This is a one-year extension, if you will, between us and the city. I believe Rogers reviewed that. We worked with Mark and Gus as well. This is one of those multiple contracts and associations we have with the City of Beatrice that we'll spend probably the next year sitting down visiting with them and seeing how we can continue to work together and if there needs to be any changes and things like that. So it's just a 1 year, and I think that's about a 3% increase. And so normally, again, it would be a three-year contract, but we're going to do just a one-year extension and try to work together.
Okay, sounds good. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove having chairman sign letter in support for the Five Rivers Weed Management Area to apply for grant funding to control invasive weeds such as Serra lespidensis, blue stem, garlic mustard, teasel, St. John's wort, in biologically unique landscapes and surrounding areas.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just ask Myron, this is just a letter of support. Is there any financial obligation of us?
No, there's no financial obligation. And what 2 years ago, the Five Rivers, they help administer. They're helping administer the grant that they received a couple years ago, $39,000 grant that they didn't use up a year ago. That's carrying on for this year, and this is a new grant that they're now applying for. The weed management area, Donna down there from the our roads department, she goes and attends these meetings all the time. And this is another group, but it's kind of a partnership group, I guess, with the Five Rivers or whatever. But this is their own group over there, and they apply for these state and federal fundings to help control. And we do have some of these weeds very much so in Gage County. Last year we had two people that did take part of that grant money to help control these invasive weeds, and there's also a lot. Some of these are a lot more serious situation than you realize. There's a Christian over there at Burchard area, down in that area, that's the chairman or part of this board or whatever, and he's been really active in this as far as pastures and stuff like that. So this is just a letter of support that they want to show that, yes, we need this in this area.
Okay. Any more questions? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove having chairman sign the insurance contract addendum to add addition participating provider network in order to see a potential extra savings of around $70,000 at no cost to Gage County.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman.
This Don called me the end of last week and said that Amber had called her and said there was an opportunity for us to add another provider to our network. No cost to us. Just when the situation arises, you decide which network you're going to use, which one has the better benefits, and then we go forward with using them. Seemed kind of odd. I asked Don a couple questions, and she emailed Amber back, and we got the answers back. And from what I can see, there's no cost to us, no really binding ties or anything. So looks like a good deal to me, and I advise us to go ahead and approve it. Don, I don't know if you have anything more to add to that.
No, really, she did indicate that several clients do this already, so this isn't, we're not unique, and it's just another cost-saving measure.
Good. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove designating the county clerk to handle the general assistance program.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion.
This will just be different. The Veterans Service Office, Phil, had done this for years before, and we made a small increase in the wage, but he didn't want to do it for that amount, so we had to find another. I did visit with Roger to see if it could be administered out of his office. Felt there may be some conflicts of interest there, so next was Dawn. So Dawn said she'd give it a go for a year and see how it went. So it'd be a little bit of a learning curve there, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Any more discussion?
I would like to say that Phil has done a good job with this in the last however many years he's done. He has done an excellent job. So it's unfortunate that we got to go this way, but it looks like, I mean, it was getting to be too much for the amount of money and the time it was taking them. So,
okay, Terry.
I guess time will tell on the time it takes. We'll Don report to us now. I guess I felt we didn't have very much communication back. We didn't know what time it took. We knew nothing what was going on, to tell you the truth. So as far as I'm concerned, this is probably the best way to go.
Okay, good. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Roger, our closed session on the real estate. We have a timed event in 3 minutes. How long does that take?
to get to a closed session, it'll take you 3 minutes.
Okay, Building and Grounds Committee report.
Nothing.
Okay. Economic Development Committee report.
Yeah, we've had quite a bit go on, I guess, in the last month or whatever.
What have you been up to?
Yeah. No, we did. We did have a signing ceremony with our new executive director down there, Bill DeMuth, and I've invited him to come to the county board meeting sometime so that he can see what's. I told him as much as anything, see what goes on and everything. Did hear this morning on Quibi coming on the way in that the city approved the agreement as far as housing us in the engage in the new Carnegie building. I know there were some emails that Andrea sent out to some of us, and I saw a rough draft of the contract, and Andy reviewed the contract with that and everything, and I imagine we'll be approving that at our next meeting. Then the other, probably the other thing I call really big was Bob Morgan has agreed to be our member to replace Dr. Lopez on the board, which I feel is visiting with him. He's really excited about being on the board, and I think he'll be a very, very good addition to the board and everything, because quite often we mention how important it is to have the economic development tied in with the college out there and to get communication back and forth and help us and everything. So, yeah, it's very busy, busy month at economic development. But I think I'd just like to say this. I think, you know, when we started this, I don't know how long ago, and thought, boy, this will speed through quick, and that everything's come out here now where finally we have an executive director hire and we are its own group and everything, and all the legal work, I think people don't realize all that time it took and the effort. And I'd really like to commend the Engage board, the amount of time and effort they put in, especially like Andrea Schaefer and Pat Rattigan and those people that were kind of on our committee to do some of that extra work. And they have been very, very busy, and that has taken a lot more time an effort, I will say, than I ever thought, and the amount of energy they had to expend to get this all done, to get to this point where we're at, because I think going forward, I think hopefully we can start seeing results. I know Bill is very excited to be on board, and if you ever get a chance to visit with him, he did mention in the paper that he's going to have some coffees down there, like on, and I'm not sure exactly what night it was, maybe Wednesday night, but I know Saturday morning he's inviting the public in. He has found it very successful just to have people come in and visit and throw out ideas. He says you'd be amazed at what people in the community, some of their thoughts are. And he says you just need one of them to hit big time, he says, and you've really accomplished a lot and stuff. So he seems pretty excited, and I think everybody's going to be excited when we get in the Carnegie Building, the chamber and everybody. So
I did have an opportunity to meet him and visit with him briefly, and I was impressed with the way that he presented himself. So I think you guys made a good choice.
Okay. 9:15, we have a timed event, public hearing on the 2012-13 Gage County budget and setting the final tax rate at a different amount than the prior tax request. Need a motion to open the public hearing.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to open the public hearing. Sign up sheet over here, but we probably don't need to. Alan, do you want to talk on the public hearing?
I will. So
okay.
Is he signed?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. You guys got to have a discussion first.
Well, we're in the public hearing part of it, so if you want to talk, here's your opportunity.
My name is Alan Grell. I reside at 1907 Washington Street. I'm a taxpayer in Gage County, and I served 12 years on your board. In addition to that, I spent 10 years in city government, 4 years in Board of Public Works, 6 years in real estate. I think all of you by now are aware that I'm an advocate of looking at a different governmental structure in Gage County. Principal reason I believe in that is I believe that we could find greater efficiencies in government. I have a couple questions I'd just like to pose on the budget. My first question, I think you have a bituminous line item there for $300,000. My question would be, what roads are those going to at this time? I think it's an increase of $300,000 from last year. And I'm not arguing about the point. What are the projects?
I think that's a repair line, Alan, isn't it?
Well, repair or construction, yeah. The point is, it's a lot of money.
Well, it's been $300,000 to $400,000 on the repair line on asphalt,
but
when you were on the board.
I think when I looked at it, it appeared, I had to look at it really quick. It looked like it was that's where some of your increase, you're up almost $800,000 in this roads budget.
Not from last year, no. From what we spent maybe from last year. Last year,
I looked at the, sure you're right, Myron, that I looked at the actual.
Yeah. And I don't know without finding the right line here, but I do know part of our discussion when Mark Minnelli came down and Don and we got together, and some of these things were combined in here because they were split out such that they were having a hard time coding to the right thing or whatever. And I don't know. I'm trying to figure out. Maybe Matt has which line.
Asphaltic material line 3-0201. Back in 9-10, we spent $242,000. 10-11, $243,000. Okay. Budget expense last year was $300,000. And I know we spent $84,000 there, and we're continuing to budget the same as we did last year.
I might have misread it, but I looked for the two places that I could see where the large adjustments were, and I thought that was one of them. Then I think you're planning, what are the three pieces of equipment you plan to buy for the road department? I don't know if it's three. It just said you were going to lease a motor grader, and you were going to buy several other pieces of equipment.
Actually, the lease is up on a motor grader and the other two pieces of equipment. So that, I mean, it isn't that we're
The backhoe and a motor grader, and I believe the payloader or whatever. There's three pieces of equipment. Then in the next 2 years, the lease comes up. They don't all come up this year.
But there's a truck and a pup that we.
So we're going to remain at seven road maintainers? Because the way the paper read it, I think it said it was an added one. The way I read it, it sounded that way.
Part of the discussion has been, at what time do we incorporate a new road grader here? Because of if you're replacing a road grader every 3 years, that's 18 or 21 years out, and then you have to replace one.
Right.
And because of the fact that one of them, the lease payment is coming due in this, I don't remember if it's this year or the next fiscal year. At that time, that's normally when they start looking at replacing the next one or whatever. And stuff, and then if you do that every 3 years, and you have seven road graders, you're looking at 18 or 20 years out replacing a road grader.
Yep.
And
I don't disagree with that.
The last one was over 15 or 18,000 hours when they replaced the last one.
Yeah, on yours. I would share. I talked to every one of the counties that has township form of government. And I know there are 26 out there, but I'll be running the article in the newspaper. But I want to share with you what I found out. And you guys, in my opinion, have failed to get out there and look at alternatives. Every one of these 24, over half of them now, the townships are inactive. Many of them have been that way for several years. Do they continue to collect a township road tax? Yeah, they did. In visiting with the treasurer and in visiting with the clerk, number one reason they still did that, they couldn't figure out how to adjust their accounting system. A lot of places to take advantage of more effective financial management. I know some of you don't believe that budgets are intended to shift dollars from one taxpaying group to the other. Budgets are a planning document. They program activities, and it becomes the time when it's appropriate to shift those funds to accomplish the things of the future. Failure to identify the future and know how that's going to impact on Gage County presents, in my mind, some inefficiencies. And I learned that from a lot of experts in these other townships. I learned it from talking to civil engineers that have done this work before. I think on the night you guys had your township meeting, my wife was out there, did a presentation. She came home and identified what Mark Minnelli had identified. In my mind, his identification of what the added cost for future operations will be. We're going to see higher gas prices. We're already seeing higher oil prices. We already know that the cost of equipment will go up because of Tier 4 emissions. I went in and talked to Caterpillar, and the guy in there, hey, if you're not running a maintainer today for at least 1,000 hours a year, you're not cost-effective for taxpayers. The salesman shares that information with you when you ask him these things. I would share one other thing with you, well, a couple other things. You guys have 31 maintainers, if I know right. Every township has one, and you guys have seven. Out of 24, and I'll say actually all of the townships, we have more road maintainers than Gage County than any other county. And several of them have more miles than we have. They have more townships. But a long time ago, they went away. Now, if I understand, I said, how did you get here? Because state law that went into effect on 2008 identifies that now when 50% of the townships in a county become inactive, you've got to put it up by state law on the ballot to give Gage County taxpayers a reason to benefit from that. So some of those are on the brink of getting caught by it. There's two where they're only one township away from now. Butler, I think, is one of them for sure that is only one township away from having to put it on the ballot and let people understand. I spent a little time looking at your motor grader routes. I'm not so sure you guys can't give some of those roads back to the townships and potentially look at if you have to have money to build bridges and roads, which Mark Minnelli has clearly identified, those are the critical things in the future for you to do it. You're going to have to be able to leverage some of your funds. I read your article about bonding. I, for one, don't believe you need to bond. I believe you got the money in your budget if you make the appropriate adjustments to financially do that. What would concern me, and roads have always been a major concern for me, when I was the mayor of the city of Beatrice, I passed the first city sales tax issue. We gave 40% of that money to roads and 60%, and it had failed the 4 years before that. People are interested in their roads. I'm sure you guys hear good things. I hear good things about roads. I also hear from a lot of township people that live in the townships that don't feel that their township boards are doing things appropriately. I had one just recently tell me, well, hey, just the board before, all they wanted to do was go out, get together, and drink beer and do things. They weren't effective. And they were very negative. And I also heard another township where one of ours, and I'm going to say that's county road maintainer, hey, taking a two-hour lunch break, we need greater efficiencies that taxpayers can see to believe that the money you guys are requesting is in their best interest. I'd be concerned if you think you can go out there and pass a bond issue, knowing what the tax structure in America is going to be. You need money to do these projects. I don't think any of us can argue about the benefit derived from paving Hickory Road. I don't know if we can argue about a bridge up in Adams County or Nema, because there's a lot of people up there. There's a lot of property valuation up there. And that, but you need to have access to money that you guys can make a positive decision on and demonstrate to taxpayers that you're doing good things. Not that you're doing bad, there's just not enough of them in a crisis period of time. I, like I said, on your maintainer routes, you can find 1 mile that the county is maintaining. And there is another one within 2 miles around from it. What kind of common sense is that? Take that and give it back. I sat out one night and I found almost 87 miles that I choose to believe could be returned to townships. They do a good job maintaining it. And you guys can start to get your budget where you can meet capital needs of the future. And I choose to believe that most people would find that to be a very satisfactory way to do it. The other thing,
how do you propose they pay for we just giving them miles that they haven't budgeted? How do you propose to pay for that?
You have that authority, Rex. You can decide to do anything you choose to do.
Sure.
And that's by an official out of the Nebraska Department of Roads. They have the authority.
How do you pay for it, though?
They have the authority in state law to tax up to 28 cents. Hey, I'm sure they don't want to raise their taxes. But why? You need the money to make roads better for everybody. And I just can't believe that 67% of the other counties in Gage County are unwise in how they're operating by comparison. Now, you're going to get a break. Next year, tax valuation is projected to go up about 25% on raw ag land. I took all the raw ag land and added it up. It comes up to $795,329. About 24% of that would be about $200,000. It almost takes the tax valuation for farm ag land up to $1 million. Is what the projection is on that. Now, I know you got to go through the process. I know state law is shifting the time period that affects, but the projection by a qualified assessor told me that we're going to be up near $1 million. You know, if I'm a rural guy, I'm really going to be discouraged if I got to contribute $250,000. And my damn roads aren't maintained. My paved roads are breaking apart. My bridges are falling down.
Alan, can you wrap it up? You've had 15 minutes.
So well, it's a public hearing.
I'm very aware of that.
But
there's somebody else that is signed to talk.
Somebody else is?
Yeah. Where'd that sheet go? Yeah, there's somebody else that is signed to talk. So.
Okay. Well, anyway, I would hope you guys would start to take a serious look. I know some of you expect and say, hey, Al Grell, you got to show these numbers. There's no way. Well, I can show some pretty good numbers. Point is, I can't validate them because none of us know what the cost of gas will be. But I'll guarantee you that you can get $2.5 million worth of equipment over the next 10 years out of that budget by looking at how you use the county road system and the township road system to work. I will also tell you that any of these counties where they had gone inactive on the township, I asked, why didn't the county board go back to 3 or 5? Conflict of interest. Not one of those 7 people that voted on those decisions to make an act wanted to, because that state law requires you to put in the petition whether you will remain at 7, 5, or 3. And the Beatrice Daily Sun, I thought, hit right on 5. I think that's very effective. If you look out there, you will see a high percentage of counties in Gage County operate with 5. Couple counties, one operates with 5 that has 30,000. You can look at Lexington, it operates with 5, more population in Gage County. You can look at Lincoln County, they operate with 3. Representation, I think maybe Gary Barnard said it pretty good. State representation for our state legislator, Norm Wallman, about 30. So I understand representation. I served here 12 years. I bet I could count the number of times on 2 hands when there was an official action here at this county board that involved the township. I've not had time to go back and look at the agenda items, but there's not a significant amount. These other counties work good. I share that with you, and I'll quiet down. Somewhere along the line, there will be a need for you to make some adjustments that you have not failed to look at effectively, in my mind, as a taxpayer. And I would hope some of you would start to look at those. I find it very hard to believe that we pay to pave a road and 2 miles over the county maintains a dirt road. Thank you very much.
Alan. Jason Sharp.
Chairman.
Kathy had a question. Oh, Kathy, I'm sorry.
Could I ask Alan just a quick question for clarification?
Okay.
Alan, I'm just a little bit confused on what you said, because first I thought you were suggesting to dissolve the township form. And then you were talking about giving more miles back and increasing their responsibilities. So I'm not really sure which way you're advocating.
I'm not as concerned about methods and resources as I choose to believe you are. And I think that's a weakness. I look at outcomes. How can we get those bridges out there that Mark Minnelli will identify for you in future 1 and 5 year plans? How can we get the ready money available going out for a bond issue? If you have the capital here, is a waste of indebtedness. Don't do that. Pay for them as you go. And you can build that pool of money where I can't hardly believe you could get it spent in maintaining bridges. I don't know how many you have out there. Your 1 and 6 year plans are hard to find and understand. And I haven't spent any time looking at them. But I've had some in the windows that, and I served here for 12 years. One of the things that I thought was weak was our planning. Identifying things that were needed significantly poor. You can't have a good budget without a plan. So, Kathy, that's best I can understand.
Okay.
I'm very flexible. I'm so flexible, I'm limp like a rope. But you've got to produce outcomes.
Okay.
Thank you, Alan.
Taxpayers pay for it. Thank
you. Jason Sharp.
Thank you. I just had two quick questions. First, I just wanted to say, you know, through my research over the years, I think the board's done a good job at looking at ways to trim the budget and working with the different agencies and departments. So I wanted to say thanks to the board for that. My two quick questions are, maybe it's just with me being new and not fully understanding, or maybe I just misinterpreted what was written in the paper. In the paper, it said that you're voting to increase the tax levy by 2% to keep up with inflation. And then in the same article, it said that the property taxes, the property valuations increased by 3%. So I was wondering if that would cover the inflation rate without raising the taxes. And then the second question was the bond issue. Since we're not doing the bond issue on the ballot this year, and with the increase, like you pointed out, with the roads and the 2%, and also there was a quote in the paper that trying to improve the infrastructure, if we're going to use that money to improve the infrastructure as well.
I'll comment on those.
Okay.
The valuation went up 3%, and the tax asking, we're asking for it's proposed now would be a 2% increase. So it's not that the levy's not going to go up 2%. The actual tax asking would go up an additional amount. I didn't read the paper, so I don't know exactly how they explained it in there. But that's where the difference is. And if you look, again, over 2 years, it's went up almost 8%, and we've did nothing last year, and so we're just doing a 2% this year. So that increase, which is very similar to what Mr. Grell was speaking to earlier, was to try and do some of that internally by taking those dollars in and improving those infrastructure. And they are expensive projects, and so we are looking to improve some of those infrastructure needs. We're working very hard. Our road and bridge crews are to do the pull out a lot of those timber bridges. There's some weight restraints on those that affect even emergency services outside of just the farmers going back and forth. We're looking at some major grading projects up on Hickory Road, similar to what was taking place down at Linden Road. So we are trying to do some of those internally by making small increases and trying to put those dollars aside for infrastructure outside of a bond. There's some of the projects moving forward that may be so insurmountable of a cost to, in order to get them done in a timely manner, I believe it's appropriate to go to the people and ask them, put a budget together that's really frugal, really tight, make small increases to maintain infrastructure that you can, maybe some small improvements. But for the big projects, go get the input from the taxpayer. And if they decide that they want to tax themselves additionally, let them do so. So that's where those dollars are trying to use those internally and do as much as we can internally. But it does, to me, if you raise taxes a whole bunch to do those internal projects, shouldn't you go to the taxpayer and ask them for that first?
Thank you. That's exactly what I was asking. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Need a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion. Vote.
7-0 to approve. Need a motion to approve or disapprove resolution setting 2012-2013 tax request at a different rate than 2012 tax request.
Number 12-24.
12-24.
Motion to approve the resolution.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion, Matt.
If the clerk could just state that tax rate, just for the record, since we don't have it written here, just so it's for the record.
The property tax request rate would be $8,233,491.22. Proposed levy would be 0.394647.
Anything else, Matt?
Nope.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution adopting the county budget fiscal year 2012-2013.
Make a motion to approve.
12-25. Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion.
Chairman.
Matt.
Just call your attention to the summary report that I put together. I believe Don corrected some of my numbers that were on there. I think Chris had given these to him last week, so he's run some of those. I tried to pick out some highlights here. Again, I went back to the 1110 budget, and you'll see the row across the top there, the tax asking. And what we're, again, last year, I believe we asked for $1,477 less than before. So there was a decrease last year. So we're asking for about $150,000 this year, which is just under a 2% over a period of from 10-11 to now. And if you look at the valuations, have gone up almost 8%. So I wanted to call some attention to that. Per $100,000, if your valuation of your property did not change, you'll pay an additional $1.81, or just under $2 per $100,000. So, if your valuation goes up, then you'll see more. But if your valuation stayed the same, then we'll see that. And I think Mr. Grill raises a good point that next year, as valuations do go up, we'll have to go back and look at, again, a stair-step approach. Just because the valuation is there, I don't necessarily agree that we need to continue to take that amount of money without asking the taxpayers to do so. The personnel items, I just wanted to call attention. Some of the dollars in the budget will look different than last year. We weren't some significant cuts in personnel costs, but there were 27 pay periods last year. There's 26 this year. An additional part-time for the clerk's office, and there'll be a personnel transition in that office. There's a small increase. Well, I shouldn't say small. There's a relative increase in the sheriff's budget. $39,000 additional county attorney, in the county, an additional attorney in the county attorney's office, increased part-time wage for the emergency manager. We're going to see how that works out. And then you'll see, again, department heads, 2% wage adjustment, road employees, 3%. And there were some of the people in the roads department that received none. I believe those were clerical staff. The other items I just put, again, we're still budgeting $120,000 like we did last year for in the building and grounds line for jail repairs. That'll be ongoing. There's Veterans Aid has $9,500 in that fund. So you'd see, again, like I mentioned before, that line item for Veterans Assistance says zero, but it says zero because there is $9,500 sitting in a separate account. Insurance, there was some discussion about lowering that, but we, again, kept that just a little bit more. And it sounds like there's an opportunity to realize $70,000 worth of savings. So we'll see how that works. Still maintaining some outside legal fees. There's still the Beatrice 6 that's hanging out there, just to be aware of that. You'll see there's no EMS consultant wage this year. That was zeroed out. The discussion about an additional motor grader lease we spoke to earlier. And again, that's a NACO lease that we call it a NACO lease. They were written by Emeritus, and those are, I think that is a 2% interest rate, super, super low, and I can kind of flip it on that. I don't have it in front of me. There is some potential new equipment purchases, which, again, like Mr. Grill, we're trying to do some of those internally by saving some of those funds and use some sinking funds. And I just made a note here that we're really working on those small timber bridges. I think Chris had a nice picture of one that looked like the pine boards. If it was a live tree, it looked like a pine board is just eating the thing up. But they just wear out. The timber wears out. So going to try and I know Mark Manelli's really cracked the whip on our employees down there, and I think they're responding excellently, and they're working very hard. And so there's going to be a lot of work, hopefully a lot of improvement to our infrastructure this next year. Again, the sinking funds there,
As always, we need to be cautious how much we're putting away, but there is some of those things we can do internally with some small increases. We'll probably be using some more of those funds for some projects as well as some capital improvements or capital items, again, like the equipment we talked about before. Inheritance fund, we're using that portions of that for economic development. We've got that additional rock and gravel line for townships and possible transfers to other funds. And one of the things I think to note, that fund right now, I believe, when we started, had $1.1 million or just under $1.2 million in it. And there's always an opportunity for that to go away at the legislature. And that's basically 6 cents worth of tax valuation that if that goes away and we need that, there would potentially be a need to increase by 6 cents. So, you know, I'm really on the fence. I think the county board over the years is, at least in the last 4 or 5 years, has done a really good job of not operating out of inheritance fund. I'll give credit to prior finance chairman of moving those operational costs to the actual budget. Again, that operates very much like a sinking fund, and we use that. But, you know, there's some sense that it is a triple tax. You're taxed when you buy it, you're taxed as you own it, you're taxed when you pass away. So that'll be decided at the legislature. So I think there's an appropriate context to use that. We need to watch that and make sure that we know that if that fund goes away, we need to continue to save conservatively for those rainy days. Again, we're looking at county building fund, continue to slowly save on this. We know that there's the facade on the outside, and I think their initial projections on that were $1 million or $1.5 million to do that. And so it's not going to happen overnight, but we need to be aware that this is an old building, and it's going to require some improvements from time to time. Again, and then bond payments at the bottom. We've got the road bond there. That was a 7-year bond. That's going to be paid off in 2016. And we're using one gas tax allocation for that. So that's about $140,000, $150,000 a month. And that's the revenue that comes in on the revenue side to help fund the highway department. So that's why when you look at the transfers in the general funds, there's not enough money transferred to the road fund for operations just because there's a revenue side that we don't see. So really what we approve is the expenditure, but there are some revenues that do come in that we just don't see on there. And then the courthouse bond, that was a 5.5-year bond, and that's going to be paid off in about a year and a half, a little under that. So that's just kind of a snapshot there. Again, I think Dawn double-checked my numbers. Are there any questions? I just want to call some attention to that. So I want to thank Terry and Gary and the rest of the board for the input. I think we, over the period of the last 3 to 4 months, we've tried to talk about this. You know, even if it was an agenda item, I think we had it as an agenda item maybe 4 or 5 separate times. And so I appreciate the input that we've had from different department heads. And Gus has given us his feedback, and, you know, we understand that there's going to be ongoing needs there. And we'll spend the next year working with some of the entities that we have interlocal agreements with and, you know, make sure that those relationships are still appropriate and that we can work together on things. So any other questions?
Discussion, questions. Alan?
Take questions from the audience.
I'll take one quickly.
Okay. On the jail repair, is that $120,000 allowance due to meet any deadline that was directed by the corrections inspection?
Well, last year we didn't. I think we spent $50,000 out of that line, Gus. There were some things that the sheriff didn't do, and there was ongoing repairs that needed to be done. And we felt,
so
Gus felt that
$50,000 gives Gus enough money to do anything that they directed in one.
Well, there's still just a few things, I believe, yet that the fire marshal 2 years ago come down and has us requesting. But there's other things also.
We had like 27 safety code violations. When I addressed jail standard report a couple years ago, Alan, and they gave me, I think it was like, I asked for 5 years, and they gave me like 3 years. And so the board has been given $120,000 for the last 2-3 years. We're plugging away on those. Yeah. So we're getting down to about now.
They wouldn't be able to come back down and see.
They're working them very well.
No. Myron, I would just make one comment to Myron. The fire violations were very significant in this building before we remodeled it. I hope you guys pay attention. I got here. I found that some of our previous supervisors had stuck their heads in the sand, and the state fire marshal had sent them personal letters indicating that there were fire violations in this building. In my mind, that's unacceptable.
Okay, any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. The county board has expressed appreciation of the various departments for... Oh, that was just for me. Okay, I thought it was for everybody. Okay. Do I share it? Evidently not.
You can.
Yeah, I can, but not.
Oh, as if you want to make a question first.
Oh, okay. We need a motion to go into closed session for real estate.
Rex, do we want to finish the committee reports before we do that?
We can. Myron, I'm going to turn it over to you. I got an appointment I got to go to. Yes. I got to explore where we're at.
Emergency management.
I didn't do.
Okay. Yeah. Emergency management.
Mark, I was talking to Mark this morning, and we got the new radio towers up in Wymore, and they got the communication lines taken care of there. Not a whole lot else that we've discussed here in the last couple weeks. Just Mark's been kind of trying to stay on top of communication equipment and get all that stuff to where it needs to be going into winter. Planning on sometime next week having a meeting with Mark just to sit down and discuss our normal stuff. Other than that, there's not a lot going on.
Equalization?
Nothing.
Finance? I guess your budget report was about everything for finance. Human resource?
No report.
Insurance?
We discussed the one, we took care of the big issue last meeting, and then we had the one discussion here today. It's the only new thing is that have the extra carrier, so.
Okay. In law enforcement, we never had no meeting or nothing, so there's nothing. But I know there will be things coming forward now that the budget's approved. I know Gus has been waiting. No. everything. Then I'll report just quickly on the fibers RC&D. They're working. They did receive an electronics grant, and they hopefully, if things work out yet, they're still trying to finalize a few things here in Gage County. We hope to have one here in Beatrice towards the end of the month of September, hopefully, and stuff. So we'll see. In the next couple days, we'll know, and that'll be advertised if and when that happens. But the fibers RC&D received some grants for the. All five out of the eight counties, and hopefully we'll get that one going here in Beatrice and see what goes on. And then Road and Bridge Committee.
Everybody, I think, has a full packet of our agenda items we talked about. The main thing the dirt crew is doing, right now is culverts replacement on culverts and some bridge repair. So they've got quite a long list ahead of them yet, I know. So... discussion items were some trees, mowing roadsides that were incomplete. We're in the process of, I've talked to the girls down there, maybe some kind of a form letter that we can send out and see if we can't get some of these items cleared up. Also, that Wymore Bridge, I think I reported last time, the Wymore Bridge is let now. There was discussion, the company that got it, the bid, would like to maybe have an early start on it, which was a winter start, which would mean they would close the bridge early, get started early, and depending on the winter, good or bad, it's something we're going to look at yet, see how the fall goes, but they could get further ahead of the game. The actual start date is May of next year. But if the board decides, I guess, as a whole, that or the residents, I think Rex looked at that there might be a possibility to close this thing a little early, and if the winter's open, they could get a lot more done as far as the removal of the bridge, some dirt work maybe, but that remains to be seen. Gravel and rock bids are open at our next meeting, September 19th, and we talked about a few programs, signed programs. We did maybe detail Nancy's job description a little bit on the P&Z, and that's basically about it.
Myron.
Yes, Gary.
Okay, Terry. There's a couple of things. I think you can back me on this stuff, but just I want everybody to be clear. Alan was speaking, and I respect all the work that Alan's done and all the work that he's done for us over the years. But I want everybody to understand that in Gage County, the difference that there might be with the township board or the township groups and in some of these other counties that may be different here is that our townships are extremely active. They're fully supported by the individuals that are living in the townships, and there's a lot of people that are very active, and there's a lot of them guys that go out and do things on their own dollar. They don't get paid a big dollar to help, work on that board, and they go out and they'll if there's something that goes wrong with the road in the middle of the night, if it's something they can take care of, they're going to go out there and they're going to take care of it on their own, not on the county's dollar, on the township's dollar. And I think that might be the one difference that our township system might be different than some of the others. The second thing is that the issue with the employee that had gone on a long lunch break and parked that was taken care of. That individual was reprimanded for what he did, and that was taken care of. Our roads department is supposed to manage their dollars wisely, and I think now that that is being done pretty fairly, and I think the guys on Road and Bridge are doing an excellent job.
I guess I have to agree 100%. I guess I disagree, Alan, saying that our townships are inefficient. I think they're very efficient. I don't think there's any money lost there. If I'd have to guess, I've always contended this, if the county had to take over all the work that those people did within their own community, we would go the other way. So that's just my belief on it. I'm fully supporting the township system because I see how hard those guys, the time they put in for little and nothing, that they get out of it. So that's my take of it.
A quick response, if I may. Some of that is correct. We do have aggressive ones here. But there is savings. Terry, sometime I'd be more than glad to tell you. Sit down and show you what people way smarter than me that do this every day and have a good thing. I've even heard you're making some good progress, and rightfully so, because I'm like Matt identified in an article here a while back. There's some things down there that aren't right. I know you're fixing them, and I'm glad that you addressed that, because those township people in that particular township, well, I even had another call recently from down where Holmesville is. Somebody down there had indicated to me that county didn't maintain its roads all during winter. Township had to do it. I kind of went back and looked at the route map, and somebody failed to communicate. This is the wife of a key member down in that county. Didn't even know that you had changed the road routes and couldn't explain to me that was the reason why the county wasn't in there as much. And it was falling back on them. I thought, my gosh, we can communicate better than that. The other thing, there was one other thing you said that when it didn't disagree, it isn't quite. We need to find the middle point on a lot of these things. There is significant room for improvement. We got to find improvement in Gage County, or we're going to limit our economic growth and development.
And if there isn't any inefficiencies, Alan, you're right. With the township, if there is something that we're doing wrong or where we're off, it might be that maybe the township themselves isn't levying enough tax every year to keep up with those expenses or those roads. If there is something, that would be the one thing that we need to look at as a group, is to make sure that they're covering themselves there. The other thing is, though, and you know this from all your years in service, Alan, you know that no matter what job you do out there in them townships, there's always going to be somebody upset with the job they're doing. You know that very well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But you got to be able to assess that and determine what the most managerial effective action you can take to do it. So that's best I can say.
Thank you.
And just the relationships that I believe this board over the last 2.5-3 years have tried to create with the townships. We meet with smaller groups, district-based where we hadn't done that before. It was just an annual meeting. And I think we've recognized that we needed to have better relationships out there because we do work in concert a lot. And as at those smaller meetings, people are a little less intimidated to have conversations and ask those questions. And I think the folks that show up and the feedback that I get is they're very well received. There's a lot of misinformation that they had that they didn't necessarily have all the information they needed. So we tried to bridge that gap, and you know, we try to work very well with the city of Beatrice. I know I spend time getting out there and visiting with the different village boards too, just to try and have those conversations and those relationships, because it is all taxpayer money. And I think that what we've seen on Road and Bridge is, you know, we are addressing some of those things. We are seeking efficiencies. We did take a one motor grader route off where before it was there, and there was some hesitancy to do that. So we've done those things, and we do have a snow route, which throws another grader out there. So we have spoken at time to time with other townships and said, hey, would you be willing to trade roads or give that road up? And, again, they're a political body, too. And so, you know, we try to massage those relationships. And I think they've improved over the last year and a half, 2 years. And the feedback I get is very positive. And so, you know, we're working on those things, but they do take time.
Matt, you spoke men about townships being another political entity. They are, but they're not as – they a lot of their authority – has dwindled away because of taxpayers complaining about too many agencies drawing money from the county. You guys have more authority here than you've ever exercised in the past. I would tell you, yes, the mayor is well pleased. I've heard him make positive comments about your communications. 12 years I served on here, I thought it sucked to be point. It caused all kinds of problems. And problems that don't change very easily, but he was positive about it, and you guys have been positive about it. It shows on the radio and in the newspaper. And I know you're working hard in Road. I have no problems with the individuals down there as long as they're performing their work to standard and safely. If they are, then you need to do what Gary said. You need to take up some type of action.
Gary had another comment yet.
As far as what Alan is, totally different subject. So
okay.
Go ahead and finish.
But if I might, I have heard positive things about your small meetings with the township. I think that's positive, at least in the environment you have. I also know that there's a lot of positive in the Department of Roads about the things you guys are striving to do. I choose to believe from comments out of the Department of Roads that Mark Minnelli has got the capability to lead you in the right direction. I've listened to him. He hasn't indicated anything yet that anybody said is wrong. Somebody in the department wrote, you need to look at what the transitional phase that Odo County is going through. Their road department was similar to ours. They've done some transitional things down there. And they've made marvelous improvements.
Thank you, Alan.
The thing that I wanted to bring up was that, and I think it's good for the Road and Bridge maybe to take this up and consider it, the 2 year and a half that I've been on the board, I've had lots of tongue-in-cheek comments about, you know, how expensive are these federal dollars that we go after in order to do some of these projects. And I guess I had one individual in my district that talked to me and said that he's got, you know, a brother that might have been involved in something similar to this. And I guess what he's suggesting is that maybe we should take a look at just like this Philly project. We spent all this time and money doing all these different tests and everything else. Can we maybe forego the federal dollar and do it on our own dollar and do it cheaper and just as well and be up to spec? I think that's something that maybe we ought to take a step back and look at and say, you know, is this federal dollar really necessary, or is it really, not only is it being a pain in our rear, is it being more expensive to us than if we did it on our own? And I think that's something that maybe we should take up and take a look at.
We've had some of those conversations. We've had some with Mark Minnelli specifically, too, because cost of some of these bridges, like the Weimer Bridge down there, had come in at $1.2 million for that project, and that doesn't include some of the other expenses that have gone with it. And, you know, I know the Philly ones that projected at over $1 million, too. And we've had those conversations, and how much could we save by doing that and bypassing the federal some of the things you still have to meet, but by not including all of those or whatever. And right now, the cost is still cost prohibitive for the county to do it that way.
The problem is the maintenance of our large bridges.
Yeah.
We need help there. I mean, we can't. There's no way in the world if something happened, you know, there, we have to have the Fed step in and help. I mean, they're the driving force behind it.
And there were some of those soft match dollars that you had to use under federal programs. So we had $300,000 or so. So in order to use those, if we do them ourselves, we don't get the credit for that. But you know, things you have to look at.
No, but that's something. No, we're visiting with them and checking to make sure, no, is this cost advantage to us to do it this way or this way? And I think I also mentioned a couple times that, and I don't remember the exact cost of the bridge, but down there in Richardson County, they had one go down this spring, and they ended up, because of time constraints and the people involved, and I know it was over $1 million they're going to spend on that bridge. It was a long bridge that they had to replace, so they had to go basically borrow the money and do a bond, you know, or whatever to replace that. So, but he also made the comment that they were doing that a lot cheaper than if they were doing the federal project, but they didn't have the years to wait to get the federal project done, which is part of all the discussion.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate that. It's good to make sure that everybody knows that's going on.
Any more comments or discussion? Otherwise, we do have a closed session on the agenda. I need a motion to go into closed session for real estate discussion.
So moved.
Oh. Necessary for the protection of the public interest.
So moved.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, vote. Or a vote, not all in favor, just vote.
Yep.
Vote is 7-0.
10-05.
And there won't be any decision coming out of it or anything.
Okay, wait a minute. You can't move yet.
Okay, I move to come out of closed session.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Bauman to come out of closed session.
At 10:20.
Vote at 10:20.
Should have did it.
Vote. Vote 7-0. Any more discussion or comments for the good of the order? County board closed at 10:20.
Thank you for the